Scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There is no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them and broke the loaves apart and gave them to the disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with leftovers. About 5,000 men plus women and children had eaten. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What if we were to take a bridge from Haran to this deserted place near the Sea of Galilee to meet up with Jesus and his disciples? Can one get there from Haran? Well, now, if you happen to have missed the last couple of Sundays, you may be asking yourself, well, where is Haran? If your path has demanded your full attention and focus to navigate the twists and turns that are on your trail, you may be asking the same question. Where is Haran? Or the Sea of Galilee, for that matter. Well, Haran was Jacob's destination when he fled the wrath of his vengeful brother Esau. It was where he was headed when he stopped at a curve on the road and was surprised to find himself in the very presence of God, who promised to bless him and go with him in all of his travels. Haran was where he went when he got on his feet and set out after his encounter with God. It was a home of his uncle Laban, where Jacob found new connections and new community. Haran was where Jacob saw new opportunities to find his place and live in peace with his brothers. At Haran, Jacob focused not on what he wanted or what he could get by taking what others had. Rather, he began to think about what he could offer himself to the community. When he saw the shepherds with their flocks, he stepped in and helped them, even though he must have been exhausted himself from his long journey. What bridge? What bridge might get us from Haran to this morning's scripture reading? What is it that connects these two places and these two stories? The better question may be, what are we ready to cross the bridge when we come to it? No matter how many times we hear it, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is always amazing. It leaves us trying to figure out, how did he do that? But that's not just us. The gospel writers, all of them, seem to be intrigued as we are by this story. Of all the wonders and signs that Jesus did, this is the only story that is included by all 4 gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why this story? Why is this the only wondrous sign that is recorded in all 4 gospel narratives? What drew the gospel writers to this story, and what about it still draws us in? Jesus had just learned that Herod had killed John the Baptist. Now Herod thought Jesus was John the Baptist coming back from the dead. What might Herod do next? In his deranged and paranoid mind, he had killed once. He could easily kill again if he had to. He could easily kill again if he wanted to. In the face of grave danger, and in the throes of grief, Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowd learned this, they followed him. In his own need for some time to himself to process his grief, What would Jesus do when approached by the multitudes? Amy Victorious Atkins-Jones depicts the scene, saying, "What I am touched by in reading this story is not the gasping miracle of feeding 5,000 people, but the deep mercy of it. Jesus hears the news about John and wants to be alone, a lesson in itself. But his grief does not close off for him the moments of compassion." Maybe that was what touched the disciples. The way Jesus refused to get caught up in his own grief, his own needs, and had the ability to look to the multitude and see their needs rather than his own. How he looked at them with compassion and healed those who were sick. That should have been enough to teach the disciples how they were to relate to the needs of others. It should have been enough to change the way they engaged with their community. It should have been enough to get them to do what Jesus did. Yet, as evening set in, it was a suggestion of the disciples that Jesus send the multitudes away into the villages to buy food for themselves. The disciples weren't there yet. Oh, they were good enough diagnosticians. They knew the people would be hungry. They even were able to come up with what they thought was a good suggestion. Send them away so they can buy food for themselves. Where they differed from Jesus, and from Jacob for that matter, was they didn't see anything they could do to help in the face of such overwhelming need. Jesus seems to have not only had the needs of the multitude in sight, he seems also to have had a vision for the disciples. He wanted to get them to cross that bridge from where they were to where he was. So he tells them, there's no need to send them away. You feed them. There's the thing that seems different about this story, you see. More than in any of the other stories of wonders and signs, the disciples were personally to be engaged in this story. Granted, in John's Gospel, Jesus is the one distributing the food. But in Matthew, the picture seems to be of the disciples themselves moving through the crowds, distributing baskets of food to hungry people. Then they are assigned cleanup duty, and each disciple is given a doggy bag of leftovers. In this story, they are not spectators of a miracle. They are participants. It's one thing to see a miracle from a front row seat. It's a whole nother thing for your hands to smell like fish after it happens. Maybe, just maybe, this added level of engagement was enough to touch the disciples and to change their lives. Maybe this was the day they crossed the bridge to experiencing the joy of working with Jesus instead of watching him work. It has been said, give a man a fish and you feed him today. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. But I say to you, give a man a fish and he becomes a follower. But send him out to share the fish that he has and becomes a true disciple. How are we inclined to respond to the suffering of others in the community? Do we care about the needs of others? Are we somehow supposed to be responsible for them? How inclined are we to get involved? Bailey Pickens addresses questions like these in a recent Christian Century article. We care, of course, but responsibility is not reducible to care. This is an important and easy lesson to miss. Many of us care very much about other people, even and especially for the vulnerable and the suffering who are especially dear to God. But the notion that we bear real responsibility for others' needs and their suffering can meaningfully, and how it can meaningfully contribute to our responsibility or guilt by neglect, runs counter to our culture's emphasis on individual responsibility. Whenever we are inclined to stop at caring about the needs of others, Jesus still calls us to responsibility in and for community. Jesus is still calling us into the story to share with others the abundance of wonders that shall be made available. Jesus is still saying, you feed them. in her own article in Christian Century, entitled After the Unveiling, Martha Tatanek reminds us that the God of Christianity, revealed as Trinitarian relationship, known to us through the relational act of breaking bread together, loved and served by us only insofar as we love and serve the bonds of relationship between us, has made it abundantly clear that we are here on this planet as beings who are inextricably bound to one another. If we try to live as if we choose to override those bonds of relationship, then we can expect life to go awry. Compassion, engaged compassion. This, to me, seems to clearly be the bridge between Jacob in Haran and Jesus and his disciples in the isolated place in Galilee. Both Jacob and Jesus looked for a way to get involved in meeting the needs of the people they saw around them. Jesus called the disciples to cross the same bridge, to do more than care, to get involved in meeting the needs of others, despite how great the need seemed or how ill-prepared they felt to meet the need. Compassion is a bridge that connects us one to another in our community. It is what bridges us together and brings us together regardless of need or how insurmountable those needs may be. Our engaged compassion is the bridge that connects the abundance of God to human need. Well, we seem to have answered that question as to what the bridge is between Haran and Galilee. The questions remain before us today. Are we willing to feed them? Are we willing to reach across the divide of need and scarcity with an engaged compassion that connects us to one another and unleashes the abundance of God's provisions in all those places of great need? The question today is, are we willing to cross that bridge? Amen.